ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ಲೋಕ 29. ಸ್ತಬ್ಧಿ ಭಾವೋರಸ ಸ್ವಾಧಾತ್ ತೃತೀಯ ಪೂರ್ವವನ್ಮತಃ ಏತೈ ಸಮಾಧಿಭಿಃ ಷಡ್ಭಿಃ ನಯೇತ್ ಕಾಲಂ ನಿರಂತರಂ ದೇಹಾಭಿಮಾನೇ ಗಳಿತೆ ವಿಜ್ಞಾತೆ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನಿ ಯತ್ರ ಯತ್ರ ಮನೋ ಯಾತಿ ತತ್ರ ತತ್ರ ಸಮಾಧಯ ವಿದ್ಯತೆ ಹೃದಯ ಗ್ರಂಥಿ ಛಿದ್ಯಂತೆ ಸರ್ವ ಸಂಶಯಾಃ ಕ್ಷೀಯಂತೆ ಚಾಸ್ಯ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದೃಷ್ಟೇ ಪರಾವರೇ ಅವಚ್ಛಿನ್ನ ಚಿದಾಭಾಸಃ ತೃತೀಯ ಸ್ವಪ್ನ ಕಲ್ಪಿತಃ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯಸ್ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ಜೀವಃ ತತ್ರಾದ್ಯ ಪಾರಮಾರ್ಥಿಕಃ ಅವಚ್ಛೇದ ಕಲ್ಪಿತ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಅವಚ್ಛೇದ್ಯಂ ತು ವಾಸ್ತವಂ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಜೀವತ್ಮಮಾರೋಪಾತ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮತ್ವಂ ತು ಸ್ವಭಾವತಃ ಅವಚ್ಛಿನ್ನಸ್ಯ ಜೀವಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣೇನ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣೈಕತಾಂ ತತ್ವಮಸ್ಯಾದಿ ವಾಕ್ಯಾನಿ ಜಗುರ್ನೇತರ ಜೀವಯೋ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣ್ಯವಸ್ಥಿತಾ ಮಾಯಾ ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪಾವೃತಿರೂಪಿಣೀ ಆವೃತ್ಯ ಖಂಡತಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಜಗಜ್ಜೀವೋ ಪ್ರಕಲ್ಪಯೇತ್ ಜೀವೋ ದೀಸ್ತಚಿದಾಭಾಸಃ ಭವೇದ್ ಭೋಕ್ತಾ ಹಿ ಕರ್ಮಕೃತ್ ಭೋಗ್ಯರೂಪಮಿದಂ ಸರ್ವಂ ಜಗತ್ಯದ್ಭೂತ ಭೌತಿಕಂ ಅನಾದಿಕಾಲಮಾರಭ್ಯ ಮೋಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಪೂರ್ವಮಿದಂ ದ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯವಹಾರೇ ಸ್ಥಿತಂ ತಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಉಭಯಂ ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕಂ. ವಿ ಸಾ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಿ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್. ಲೆಟ್ ಅಸ್ ಗೋ ಟು ಶ್ಲೋಕ 38. ಚಿತಾಭಾಸಸ್ಥಿತ ನಿದ್ರಾ ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪಾವೃತಿ ರೂಪಿಣಿ ಆವೃತ್ಯ ಜೀವ ಜಗತಿ ಪೂರ್ವೇ ನೂತ್ನೇ ತು ಕಲ್ಪಯೇತ್. From the 32nd shloka, the author is summarizing the Vedantic teaching given in the first 31 shlokas once again in a different language by introducing the three jivas, namely the Paramarthika Jiva, the Vyavaharika Jiva, and the Pratibhasika Jiva. We saw all this in the last class. He also introduces two fields of experience, ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ಜಗತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಾತಿಭಾಸಿಕ ಜಗತ್. ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ಜೀವ ಈಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ಜಗತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾತಿಭಾಸಿಕ ಜೀವ ಈಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾತಿಭಾಸಿಕ ಜಗತ್. ಪಾರಮಾರ್ಥಿಕ ಜೀವ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಎನಿ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿ ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ಜೀವ ಅಂಡ್ ವ್ಯಾವಹಾರಿಕ ಜಗತ್ ಆರ್ ಅವೈಲಬಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ and the pratibhasika jeeva and pratibhasika jagat are available in the dream state and the paramarthika jeeva is the original consciousness whereas the vyavaharika jeeva and the pratibhasika jeeva are in the form of chidabhasa the reflected consciousness. Vyavaharika jeeva is the vyavaharika chidabhasa associated with the waker's body experiencing the waking universe and in the waking state. And the Pratibhasika Jiva is the Pratibhasika Chidabhasa associated with the dream body experiencing the dream universe in the dream state. And the author says that I, the Paramarthika Jiva, am projecting the Vyavaharika Jiva, the Jagat, space and time. So since both are my own projections, both of them are like dream only. The power that I have to project the Vyavaharika Jiva and the Vyavaharika Jagat is called Maya. I now identify with the Vyavaharika Jiva and forget my Paramarthika Jiva nature. This is mistake number one. And what is the second mistake? The second mistake is the Vyavaharika Jiva, number one, projects the Pratibhasika Jiva and Jagat with the help of the individual Nidra Shakti and identify with Pratibhasika Jiva in the dream state. So the pratibhasika jiva forgets his higher nature or her higher nature due to the concealing power of nidra shakti and takes the projected dream to be real and experience the consequences. So the dream's effects can be solved by only what? By waking up. If waker's world, which is only a projection, disturbs waker, he needs to only wake up. So the first waking up is to get out of the dream samsara, and the second waking up is to get out of the waking samsara. So Gaudapada Acharya in his Mandukya Karika says, Anadimayaya suptau yada jiva prabudhyate ajam anidram aswapnam advaitam budhyate tada. Having been ignorant of my real nature, it is in the Mandukya language, it is the Turiyavastha, due to beginningless maya, when the jiva awakens, then the jiva knows the non-dual, the turiya nature, which is unborn, dreamless, and sleepless. Of these three jivas, the author has talked about the paramarthika jiva in shlokas 32, 33, and 34, and the vyavaharika jiva in verses 35, 36, and 37, which we have all seen up to the last class. Now in shloka 38, the pratibhasika jiva is described. The pratibhasika jiva projects the vyavaharika jiva, paramarthika jiva projects the vyavaharika jiva, and the vyavaharika jiva projects the pratibhasika jiva. So in the vyavaharika jiva, which is the consciousness reflected in the waker's body-mind complex, there is a power called nidra shakti. This power is very similar to Maya Shakti and has the projecting power and the concealing capacities both. So with these powers of projection and concealment, Avarana Shakti, Vikshepa Shakti and Avarana Shakti, the Nidra Shakti creates a new dream jiva and dream world and simultaneously covers the waker and his world. So the dream jiva is referred to as a new, it's a new Nutana in the shloka. In the words, it's new in the shloka that we read to indicate that the dream jiva is not aware that he is originally the waker. Thus, both the waking jiva world and dream jiva world are my own projections in two layers. Now let us see the shloka. Chida bhasasthita nidra vikshepa vriti rupini avritya jiva jagati Purve nutne tu kalpayet, nutana kalpayet, kalpidam. Nidra, sleep, said to be associated with the consciousness wrongly presented in the mind, and vikshepa avritti rupini, of the nature of vikshepa and avarana, purve avritya jiva jagati. At first, purve, it covers avritya, the empirical individual self, the jiva, and the jagat. Nutne tu kalpayet. And then imagines them in dream as if it is new. Nutane. Shloka 39.
Pratiti kalaye vaithe stitvat pratibhasike stitatvat pratibhasike nahi swapna prabuddhasya punaswapne stitistayoho.
So the waker jiva and the waker world are false projections just as the dreamer jiva and the dream world. They are all mithya. This is described in great detail in the second chapter, the Vaitatya Prakaranam of Mandukya Karika. We have seen that in detail then. Here the author says, whenever I refer, you can also refer to our lectures in the website. Even though both waking and dream are unreal, there is a gradation in that unreality also. Because of this gradation alone, the waking is called vyavaharika and the dream is called pratibhasika, even though both are only projections. Why is dream called pratibhasikam? Even though the waker's world is unreal, there is continuity for this waking world And thus the waking world has an empirical reality. There is continuity here. It doesn't have absolute reality being projection, but has transactional reality. However, what happens in the dream? The dream does not have any continuity from one dream to the another. The dream world exists only as long as it is experienced. When a particular dream is over, the world associated with it also ceases to exist, never to be retrieved. This dream is so nice. Why don't I have it again? Replay. Never happens. The dream does not have an empirical reality, objective reality, or a continuing reality, and so cannot be called vyavaharikam. When the dream is experienced, it is real for only the dreamer, and so it is called pratibhasikam. Whatever has got temporary reality or existence during its appearance is called pratibhasikam, subjective reality. And after waking up from a dream, the same dream never continues while dreaming again. Thus, a given dream has only a fleeting existence. Pratitakala evaite sitatvat pratibhasike nahi swapna prabuddhasya punaha swapne sthiti stayoho. Why are the jivan jagat as cognizant in the dream, imaginary or illusory? That's what is said here. Yete pratitakala eva sitatvat pratibhasike. These two objects, that is the perceiving object and the perceived world, are illusory since they existed only during sleep experience. Nahi swapna prabuddhasya punaha swapne stitistayoho, stitihitayoho. Because no one after waking up from dream sees those objects when one dreams again. Shloka 40. In the next three slokas, they point out the difference between the jivas as conceived from the three standpoints, as was stated in the previous shloka. Pratibhasika jivoyaha tajagat pratibhasikam vastavam manyaten yastum mityeti vyavaharikaha. These are all just only definition slokas. Here the author says that in dream, the pratibhasika jiva refuses to accept the pratibhasika jagat as an unreal projection. In the dream world, dream world is real for the dreamer. To see it as an unreal projection, the jiva has to wake up and gain the knowledge that he is the vyavaharika jiva. From the dream, he has to wake up and claim his position as the vyavaharika jiva. As a vyavaharika jiva, the dream is effortlessly seen to be mithya. Yeah, very easily understand. Dream is mithya. The same is true for the vyavaharika jiva also with regard to the waking world when he wakes up to his real nature as the paramarthika jiva. Yaha pratibhasika jivaha tat pratibhasikam jagat vastavam manyate. He who is the illusory jiva thinks that the illusory world is real. Anyaha tu vyavaharikaha mithya iti. Anyaha. But the empirical jiva thinks that world, which world? The pratibhasika world, the dream world, is unreal. Mithya, the waker thinks. The empirical jiva thinks at that time. And that is elaborated in the next shloka. Vyavaharika jivoyaha tajagat vyavaharikam satyam pratyeti mityeti manyate paramarthikaha. The waker jiva, now what he says, he never accepts the waking world as unreal as long as he is ignorant of the higher I, the lower I and higher I, the higher order of reality. This jiva, vyavaharika jiva, upon the waker's world, looks upon the waker's world as what? As absolute reality. Even though it is another projection consisting of simple name and form without any substantiality of its own. However, a jnani, what he does? who claims that he is neither the Pratibhasika Chidabhasa nor the Vyavaharika Chidabhasa, but the Paramarthika Jiva understands the whole Vyavaharika Jagat to be Mithya. There is an important difference here. We have to understand that. When I wake up from dream and understand that I am not the dream Jiva, but I am the waker Jiva, the dream physically disappears. But when I wake up from the Vyavaharika dream through self-knowledge and claim that I am the Paramarthika Jiva, this world does not instantaneously disappear. In the dream, you can just discount it because it disappears when you wake up. But here, even after getting your jnanam, the world still is there. So the Vyavaharika Jiva and the Vyavaharika Jagat will continue to appear for some more time due to the power of Prarabdha Karma. Your own Prarabdha pushes you. One can never short-circuit Prarabdha at all. One example that we can give is what? To illustrate this, the blue sky continuing to appear blue even after the knowledge that there is no blue sky. We all know there is nothing like a blue sky, but continues to appear blue. And the other example is the sunrise and sunset. So there are two types of unreality here. One that physically disappears after knowledge, like in the dream, the waking state. And the other that continues to appear even after the knowledge that it is unreal. The world jagat is unreal, that knowledge is there, but still it continues to appear. So the sense organs will continue to report the world as it is even after the world is known to be unreal, mithya. But the cognitive understanding of the unreal nature of the world, that remains. The jnani. So the jnani jiva knows that the waking world is mithya. The experience continues. This is called Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti is just this only. It is as though the dreamer is in dream knows that his experience is dream. Look at the shloka now. Meaning is very simple. Vyavaharika jivoyaha tad jagat vyavaharikam. Satyam pratyeti mityeti manyate paramarthikaha. Yaha vyavaharika jivaha that tat vyavaharikam jagat satyam pratyam. He who is the vyavaharika jiva thinks that the vyavaharika world is real. Paramarthika mithya iti manyate. Paramarthika jiva knows it is to be unreal. This jagat. Shloka 42. Paramarthika jivastu brahmaikyam paramarthikam pratyeti vikshate nanyate. Vikshate tvanrutatmana. Here the Pratibhasika Jiva sees the dream world as real, and when he wakes up and becomes the Vyavaharika Jiva, the dream world becomes unreal and the waking world seems real. And when the Vyavaharika Jiva wakes up and recognizes that he is the Paramarthika Jiva after Jnanam, the waking world becomes unreal and the oneness of the waker with Brahman is recognized when one gets self-knowledge. I am Brahman is a fact for the Jiva. What Jiva? For the Paramarthika Jiva. So by constant Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, this person retains that fact in the surface of the mind all the time. Gaining the knowledge is relatively easier. But what is the problem? The knowledge gained in the intellect at the time of Shravanam does not help in life situations because the relative personality of the Jiva as a father, mother, and all that thing is still prominent. Knowledge is not sufficient, but establishment in the knowledge is required. So the prajna, that is what Krishna said, spent so many shlokas to explain that. The fact that one is a Paramarthika Jiva should be foremost in the mind. Even a wise person, however wise he is, even a wise person gets dragged into the status of Vyavaharika Jiva, and so long Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam is required. Shrishwaracharya says that this is a lifelong process. The one that is established as the Paramarthika Jiva will not invoke the Vyavaharika Jiva and the Pradibhasika Jiva beyond what is necessary for the carrying out of the duties of those two Ahankaras. I am now introducing a new term here, Ahankara, these two. He plays the role that each situation demands well and effortlessly moves on to the next situation. Even if he transacts in these roles, I'm talking about the Jnani. Even as he transacts in these roles, he constantly remembers they are mithya. Once this is forgotten, the world will become satyam, if one forgets this. The world's capacity to bind the jiva is too powerful. In front of satya world, the jiva is overwhelmed. The world can be tackled only by seeing it to be mithya. If one sees the world as satyam, one can be very easily overwhelmed. That is what Paramarthika Jiva does. A Jnani does. He is a Jivan Mukta Jnani. Paramarthika Jivastu Brahmaikyam Paramarthikam Pratyayati Vikshate. But the Paramarthika Jiva knows his identity with Brahman, Brahmaikyam, to be alone real. Na Anyate Vikshate Tu Anrutatma. Anrutatma. He does not see the other. If he does, he knows it unreal. We will do verses 43 and 44 together. Madhurya drava shaityani niradharmasta tarangakem anugamyata tannishtem pene pyanugatat yatham साक्षिस्थ सच्चिदानन्दाः सम्बन्धात् व्यावहारिके तद्वारेणानुगच्छन्ति तथैव प्रतिभासिके. Why is it said that the Vyavaharika Jiva and the Pratibhasika Jiva are mithya and the Paramarthika Jiva alone is satyam? While it is easy to accept that the dream jiva is mithya, it is difficult to accept that the waker jiva is also mithya. Dream jiva mithya, that is not a big deal to accept. The author says that the Paramarthika Jiva alone has its own Satchit Ananda, whereas the Vyavaharika Jiva does not have these independently. The Paramarthika Jiva lends these to the Chidabhasa Vyavaharika Jiva. Reflected consciousness. What is borrowed, especially the borrowed ananda, is not permanent, which results in samsara for the Vyavaharika Jiva. The Vyavaharika Jiva lends the Satchidananda that it has borrowed to the Pratibhasika Jiva in dream. So the author gives a nice example here to explain this sequential borrowing of Satchidananda. Imagine a lake or an ocean. Upon the lake, there is a wave. And there is a bubble upon the wave. The attributes of the water are borrowed by the wave and are given to the bubble. And in this example, water is the Paramarthika Jiva, the wave is the Vyavaharika Jiva, and the bubble is the Pratibhasika Jiva. Water has three intrinsic attributes. Water is, it has a unique taste, it is liquid, and it is cool to the touch. So these three attributes of water pervade the wave. The small bubble on top of the wave also has these three attributes. Water does not give the three attributes directly to the bubble. Water lends the attributes to the wave, and the wave in turn lends them to the bubble. Exactly as this, in this example, we experience all the three attributes of the Paramarthika Jiva. We are the Paramarthika Jiva that is similar to the water. The Vyavaharika Jiva is like the temporary wave. And the Pratibhasika Jiva is like a small, a still more temporary bubble. So the example is described in this verse, and the teaching is explained in the next shloka, 44. That also we read. So similar to the example cited, I am the original water. And who is the Sakshi? And the Paramarthika Jiva, whose intrinsic nature is Satchidananda. So I am the water, original water, whose intrinsic nature is Satchidananda, Paramarthika Jiva. I am always existent, and I do not have birth and death. I claim immortality if I claim I am water. If I claim I am wave, the Vyavaharika Jiva, I have problems. The life conditions of the wave depend on the wind and not on itself. Similarly, the life conditions of the Vyavaharika Jiva also depends on what? Karma. The situation is still worse if I claim I am the bubble, the Pratibhasika Jiva, which has a shorter life. It is unintelligent to claim the bubble and wave statuses. I should claim I am water, not the bubble, not the wave, however beautiful and nicely they are located. Claiming the water status is wise because the wind does not affect the water. Therefore, I should claim I am the Paramarthika Jiva and not the Vyavaharika Jiva or the Pratibhasika Jiva. This Paramarthika Jiva is called the Sakshi in this shloka. I, the Sakshi, lend Satchidananda to the Vyavaharika Jiva, which is the temporary Chidabhasa associated with the temporary body. And through the Vyavaharika Jiva, the very same Satchidananda is given to the Pratibhasika Jiva, dream Jiva. The waker's mind alone gives consciousness to the dream body. So if you look at both the shlokas together, Madhurya Drava Shaityani Nira Dharmas Tarangake Anugamya. As such characteristics like what? Sweetness, Madhuryam, Dravam, fluidity, and coolness. They inhere in the waves and then tannitte fene, in the foam also, of which the wave is a substratum for the foam. Yata anugata api, as inheres tatha, so also, sakshistaha. What is that? Now the inherent characteristics are the sakshi, Satchidananda. That is existence, consciousness and bliss, Satchitananda. Sambandhe Vyavaharike, on account of relationship in the Vyavaharika Jiva, Anugachanti, it inheres also. Tadvarena, through that. Pradibhasike, in the Pradibhasike Jiva. Tatevam, similarly. Anugachanti, it also inheres. So if you combine both the shlokas, as characteristics like the sweetness, the liquidity, the coolness of water appear to inhere in the waves, and then also in the foams, of which the waves are the substratum, so also the existence, consciousness, and bliss, Satchidananda, which are the characteristics of the Sakshi, appear to inhere in the Vyavaharika Jiva on account of its relation with Sakshi, and through it similarly inhere in the Pratibhasika Jiva also. Shloka 45. Laye fena syatad dharma travadyasyus Suhuttarangatke tasya pivilaye nire tishtantyete yatapura. Here the author is going to reverse the order. Originally we said what? Water to wave to bubble. Previously he talked about the three attributes of the water that go to the wave and from the wave to the bubble. Suppose the bubble bursts and resolves. The bubble can burst any time and it will resolve. What happens to the three attributes? Three attributes are what here? Unique taste, liquidity, and coolness. The attributes are not destroyed when the bubble bursts because they are not the attributes of the bubble. The attributes remain with the wave. And when the wave also resolves, the attributes are not destroyed but remain with the water. The condition that the water that is obtained in the wave and in the bubble, they remains the same after resolving of the wave and the bubble also. In the same way, when the dream jiva resolves, the Satchidananda never gets destroyed but gets resolved into the waker jiva. And at the time of dissolution of all the waker jivas, the Satchidananda is not destroyed but remain with the Sakshi, the Paramarthika jiva. Penasya laye, with the disappearance of the form, tad dharmaha, its characteristics, like what? So, drivyadhyaha, taranke, such as liquidity and all that thing, in the wave they exist. Tasyapi vilaye, with its disappearance again, yete, all these, yata pura nire tishtanti, as before, exist in the water. So, with the disappearance of the form from wave, its characteristics such as liquidity and all, they merge with the wave. Again, with the disappearance of the wave in the water, these characteristics, they merge as before in the water. So all these things never get destroyed. He is now elaborating this in the next shloka, the last shloka. Pratibhasika jivasya layesyuhu vyavaharike tallaye sachidanandaha paryavasyanti sakshini. Now the meaning we get from the illustration that we saw here earlier is applied to the object illustrated. When the dream jiva resolves upon waking up from the dream, the Satchidananda that was present in the dream comes back to the waker jiva. The I am is common to all the jivas. I am waker, I am dreamer. All those things, they are common. I am is common. I being the consciousness and am being the existence. So the I am is satyam and anything added to the I am is mithya. I am dreamer, mithya. I am waker, mithya. I am satyam. I am officer. I am father. I am daughter. All those things, all those words are mithya. I am alone is satyam. So the waker jiva is dissolved during three states. What are those states? In the deep sleep state and death, dissolution of the universe, that is, and Videha Mukti. So at the time of deep sleep and death or total dissolution of the universe, which are temporary states only, the waker jiva is temporarily dissolved. Upon Videha Mukti, the waker jiva is permanently dissolved and remains as the Sakshi Chaitanyam, one with Brahman. The Sakshi does not and cannot resolve. I, the Sakshi, am always present, and in me alone, the waves and bubbles of creation arise and fall. One should abide as the Sakshi and not get carried away by the various roles that come and go. Life, the play, goes on in me, the Sakshi. As the jiva, the various mithya roles should be played to the fullest extent and in the appropriate manner. But Sakshi, which is satyam and the true nature of the jiva, should never be forgotten. So see the sloka now. Pratibhasika jivasya laye stihum vyavaharike tal laye. Tallaya tad refers to again the Vyavaharika Jiva, Satchidanandaha Paryavasyanti Sakshini. Pratibhasika Jivasya Laye, with the disappearance of the Pratibhasika Jiva, Satchidanandaha Vyavaharike Siho, the characteristics of existence, consciousness and bliss, Satchidananda, they exist in the Vyavaharika, empirical Jiva. Tallaya, with the disappearance of that also, Satchidanandaha Sakshini Paryavasyanti. Characteristics of the existence, consciousness, bliss, they merge in the Sakshi. So with the disappearance of the Pratibhasika Jiva in the Vyavaharika Jiva, ECB, that is, which is the characteristics of the existence, consciousness, bliss, merge in the Vyavaharika Jiva. When that also disappears in Sakshi, these characteristics finally merge in Sakshi. If one understands this, this is called Drik Drishya Vivekaha. Now let me give a summary of the entire thing because this is very useful. Always the summary we give that is more useful because it sums up the entire teaching. This text is called Drishya Vivekaha. It was written by Adi Shankaracharya, that's what we believe. But some people say it was written by Vidyaranya Swamiji or his guru Bharati Tirtha Swamiji, who was the guru of Vidyaranya, all from the Sringeri Guru Parampara. Whoever is the author of the text, doesn't matter to us now. It is a beautiful text summarizing the Vedantic teaching with just only 46 shlokas. There are 46 shlokas in this text, and the text can be divided into 5 topics. The first topic is from shlokas 1 to 5, enumerating the 3 types of seers or drik. The second topic is from the 6th shloka to the 12th shloka, dealing with the formation and function of these 3 seers. I mentioned this during the talk, but I'm summarizing. And the third topic is from the second topic is from the 6th verse to the 12th verse, functions and the formation. Third topic is from the 13th shloka up to the 21st shloka, which is the main part of the text, and it deals with the cause of samsara and its remedy. Cause of samsara and its remedy. And the fourth topic is from the 22nd shloka to the 31st shloka, which describes the Vedantic meditation and its benefit. Finally, from shlokas 32 to 46, the summarization of the whole teaching is given. So the content of each of these topics, let us summarize now. First topic from shlokas 1 to 5 was the enumeration of the 3 seers. So from the standpoint of the world, the sense organs can be called the seer. From the standpoint of the sense organs, the mind can be called the seer. And from the standpoint of the mind, the consciousness can be called the seer. So the world is seen because of the sense organs. And sense organs are known because of the mind. And the mind is experienced because of the consciousness. Thus, there are 3 types of seers. And correspondingly, there are 3 types of seen also, drishyam. Every seer presupposes a scene. Scene, S-E-E-N. If a list of seers and a list of seen are made, there will be 3 seen and 3 seers. The world is the scene number 1. The sense organs the scene number 2. And the mind is the scene number 3. And sense organs is seer 1. Mind is seer 2. And consciousness Chaitanyam is seer 3. So the world occurs only in the seen list and does not occur in the seer list. Thus the world is the absolute seen because it is only an object perceived and never the subject. Chaitanyam is only in the seer list and it is not in the seen list. Thus Chaitanyam consciousness is the absolute seer. So absolute seen is the world, absolute seer is Chaitanyam. However, the sense organs and the mind, they are both in the seer list and seen list. Thus, they are seen-seer, seen-seer. Sense organs are the seer from the standpoint of the world. And they are the seen from the standpoint of mind. The mind is the seer from the standpoint of the sense organs. And it is seen from the standpoint of consciousness. So, sense organs are the relative seen-seer. And the mind is also the relative seen and seer. Consciousness is the absolute seer. Thus, there are totally how many 4? What are those 4? 1 absolute seen. 1 seen absolutely, that is the word. Seen is a E-E-N. And 2 relative seen seers, the sense organs and the mind. And there is 1 absolute seer, the Chaitanyam consciousness. So consciousness refers to the pure independent consciousness principle. And of these 4, the text concentrates on only 3. The absolute seen, the world, is not dealt with here because it is not of importance to the subject matter of this text. So the 2 relative seen seers, the sense organs and the mind, are called the drishyam in this title of this text. Drishya Viveka refers to these sense organs and the mind. And the absolute seer, the consciousness, is called the drik in the text. So the text is called drik drishya vivekaha, a study of drishyam, the two relative seen seers, and drik, the one absolute seer. So the subject matter is introduced in the first five shlokas. And the second topic we said was about the formation and function of the threefold seer from shloka 6 to 12. To know the formation and function of the two relative seen seers and the one absolute seer, when I say seen seers, expect you to understand immediately sense organs and mind, and absolute seer, Chaitanya. The absolute seer is taken up first. How is the absolute seer formed? The absolute seer is never formed. It ever is. The function of the absolute seer is the illumination or objectification of its object, namely the mind. The mind alone is the object of the absolute seer. Absolute seer doesn't care about the world. It is only seer of the mind. It illumines without undergoing any change, without any action, without any will. By its mere presence, it illumines the mind. There's no action involved, no will involved. Illumination is not an action done by consciousness, and so it does not have a beginning or end. When the action of illumining starts, no. When it ended, no. Just by its mere presence, this happens. Since the illumination by consciousness is a non-function, non-action, consciousness is an eternal illuminator, and it illumines the mind directly and not the world. The mind is a relative seen and seer. It is seen or objectified by the absolute seer, namely the consciousness, and the mind is the illuminator of the sense organs. And how does the mind become the illuminator? The mind cannot be an illuminator by itself. It is inert. It borrows consciousness from the absolute seer. With the borrowed consciousness, it becomes a seer, and thus it is a dependent seer. It has no the seer quality by itself. It borrows consciousness from Chaitanyam, and it becomes, so it is a dependent seer. The mind's function is that it illumines the sense organs. And for this illumination, the mind undergoes change in the form of thoughts. The mind is a relative, dependent, and changing illuminator. All these words are important. It's a relative, dependent, and changing illuminator, and therefore only a temporary illuminator. Mind is only a temporary illuminator. During sleep, the mind cannot function as an illuminator. Whatever was said about the mind above applies to the sense organs also. They are also relative seer and seens. They are the seen from the standpoint of mind. And they are the seers from the standpoint of the world, external world. They become seers only by borrowing consciousness from the mind. With the borrowed consciousness, the sense organs become the illuminators of the world. They are changing and they are temporary illuminators. So if the mind wanders away and does not back the sense organs cannot illumine any object, even if they are available and directed towards the object. Now, what is the third topic? The cause of samsara and its remedy. From shlokas 13 to 21, the cause of samsara and remedy is talked about. The relative seer seen, the sense organs, and the relative seer seen mind put together is called ahankara. Now I told we are introducing a new term here, ahankara. That term is the relative seer seen, that the sense organs, and the relative seer seen the mind. So mind and sense organs, they put together, they are called here ahankara, which is the drishyam. The absolute seer, the consciousness, is called the sakshi, which is the drik. So the author now has consolidated the four entities now enumerated now so far at the start of this the three, and then to two, ahankara and sakshi now. సో ఎవ్రీ ఇండివిజువల్ ఈస్ అ మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ అహంకార అండ్ సాక్షి. అహంకార ఇస్ అ చేంజింగ్ అండ్ ఫైనైట్ ప్రిన్సిపల్. ది అహంకార అలోన్ ఈస్ ది డూవర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సర్ సంసారి. ఇట్ ట్రావెల్స్ ఫ్రమ్ లోక టు లోక. ఈ సబ్జెక్టు సంచిత కర్మ, ఆగామి కర్మ అండ్ ప్రారంభ కర్మస్, పుణ్యపాపాస్ అండ్ హ్యాస్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. అహంకార ఈజ్ నెవర్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్. ఇట్ కెన్ నెవర్ హ్యావ్ పర్మనెంట్ పీస్ అట్ ఆల్. ఈవెన్ జ్ఞానీ సహంకార అండ్ భగవాన్ సహంకార వెన్ హీ ఇన్కార్నేట్స్ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు గో త్రూ అప్స్ అండ్ డౌన్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్. అహంకార ఈజ్ అన్ ఇటర్నల్ సంసారి. However, Sakshi is an eternal asamsari. It never undergoes any change, never travels, and is a non-doer, akarta, and non-experiencer, abhokta. So the individual is a mixture of the non-eternal samsari, ahankara, and the eternal asamsari, Sakshi. So there is no physical distance between these two. అహంకార అండ్ సాక్షి. నో గురు క్యాన్ ఫిజికలీ సెపరేట్ దీస్ టూ అండ్ షో ఈచ్ వన్ టు ది డిసైపుల్. ఈవెన్ ఇన్ నిర్వికల్ప సమాధి దేర్ ఇస్ నో సెపరేషన్. ఇన్ దాట్ సమాధి అహంకార అండ్ సాక్షి ఆర్ టుగెదర్, బట్ ది అహంకార ఈస్ ఇన్ ది డార్మెంట్ కండిషన్ ఓన్లీ. దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్. వెన్ ఎవర్ ద వర్డ్ ఐ ఈస్ యూస్డ్, ఇట్ రెఫర్స్ టు ద మిక్స్చర్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ టూ, బికాస్ they are always together, ahankara and sakshi. Mere sakshi can never say I, because it does not have the means to do that. Mere ahankara cannot say I, because it cannot even exist by itself without sakshi. Ahankara's existence is borrowed from sakshi. So why do we suffer by samsara from samsara? It is because we have not understood that we are a mixture of ahankara and sakshi. We are ignorant of the composition of the word I. There is self-ignorance, but we are also identified with the ahankara part only, as though it is the real I. Not only we are ignorant, we also have false identification with ahankara. As ahankara, we are struggling. It is an ever-losing battle, because ahankara has to struggle with punya papam, which are constantly fructifying. Even if we exhaust all the prarabdha karma and die, we are not free, because the cycle of birth and death continue due to what? Sanchita karma. The life conditions keep changing continuously, contrary to our expectations. The ahankara can never escape from samsara, because it is an eternal samsari. Ahankara is an eternal samsari. So the cause of this problem is the self-ignorance. Actually, we have already seen this in the 15th shloka. Antar drigdrishya yor bhedam bahischa brahma sargayoho avrunotya para shaktihi sa samsarasya karanam. It was said, samsarasya karanam. Ignorance or maya has the avarana shakti and the vikshepa shakti. Because of avaranam, we are ignorant of ourselves. And because of vikshepa, we identify with the wrong component, namely ahankara. And the author actually adds in verse 20, I said this often quoted verse, that the external world is also a mixture. The world is a mixture of existence and nama rupas. Asti bhati priyam rupam nama chetyam sha panchakam adyatrayam brahma rupam jagat rupam tatodvayam. I said this is an often quoted verse in so many places. With respect to the world also, we make the mistake of going with the changing, dying, disintegrating and pain causing nama rupa. So the ignorance and wrong identification, both internally and externally, is caused by the avarana shakti and vikshepa shakti. Subjectively, the wrong identification is both internally and externally is caused by the avarana shakti, and the wrong identification is ahankara, and objectively the wrong identification is with the nama rupa, names and forms. What is the remedy for the samsara then? If ignorance and the wrong identification are the problems, the remedy is knowledge and the right identification. If ignorance is the problem, solution is knowledge. Wrong identification is the problem, right identification is the solution. So the knowledge is what? First, I should know the word I has two components. Ahankara, the lower I, and Sakshi, the higher I. Lower order of reality, higher order of reality, all that I mentioned earlier. So this understanding is called Drigdrishya Vivekaha. And having separated the two components, I should train my mind to claim the higher I more and more. I am Sakshi, and Ahankara is an incidental lower part of me. And it is only a temporary role. I should convert the Ahankara into roles, life into a play, and world into a stage. For a jnani. Thereafter, I should play the roles in my life as the roles demand, but claim the Sakshi as I, even as you are going through your prarabdha karma. This claiming is the only solution. When I claim that I am the Sakshi, will I get moksha? I will not get moksha, but I will understand that I am never a samsari, but one who is eternally free. The struggle for moksha will end. I don't have to struggle for moksha at all. I am ever free. I am never a samsari. So claiming the Sakshi is the aim of the Vedantic study. Correspondingly, in the objective level also, I should shift my emphasis from the Namarupa to the pure existence, that is seeing Brahman everywhere. Thus, consciousness inside and existence outside are one and the same. Sadeva Chit. This is Vedanta Shravana Mandala. Now, the next topic we said is Vedantic meditation. Vedantic meditation, Nididhyasana, and its benefit. So, shlokas from 22 to 31. So, the author talks about six types of meditation, three internal meditations and three external meditations. And the first type of internal meditation is called thought meditation, in which I observe my thoughts and try to pay attention to the consciousness which is in and through every thought. So, both the thought and the consciousness are involved in this meditation. So, this is called thought meditation. And the second meditation is meditation upon the features of consciousness. This meditation is dwelling upon the consciousness alone by bringing into the mind the different features of consciousness. What are the features? All-pervading. It is relationless. It is one, free from subject-object differences. It is indivisible. It is eternal. It is Sachidananda, all that. With the help of what? The Upanishads, the scriptures, the words from all of them. So this second meditation is absorption in consciousness meditation. So this first meditation is called Antara Drishya Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. And the second meditation is called Antara Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. And the third meditation is called Antara Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And this is the first set of three. And the second, these are internal meditations. And the second three are meditations corresponding to the external world. The fourth meditation, three we already said, the fourth meditation is the object meditation. There it was thought meditation, it is object meditation. This meditation is observing any object in the world and paying attention to the existence in that object. A stone is, a building is. This common factor, the existence, is the isness, the amness of every object. I am, you are. So the fifth meditation is focusing on the different features of existence with the help of the Upanishadic words, again, such as all pervading and all. So the fifth meditation is called the existence meditation. So in the object meditation, both the object and existence are involved. In the existence meditation, I dwell on the existence alone. As earlier in the third meditation, we dwelt only on the consciousness alone. Here we are dwelling on the existence alone, inviting various features of existence into my mind. And the sixth meditation is absorption in existence meditation. So fourth meditation is called Bahya Drishya Anuvidyasa Vikalpa Samadhi, as opposed to Antara Drishya. Fifth is called Bahya Shabda Anuvidya Savikalpa Samadhi. And the sixth meditation is called Bahya Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So the six meditations are thought meditation, consciousness meditation, absorption in consciousness meditation, object meditation, existence meditation, and absorption in existence meditation. So the benefit of this meditation is that the knowledge gets well established in the mind, resulting in Jivan Mukti and later Videha Mukti. Then the last topic is summary of the teaching from shlokas 32 to 46. As I told you, with the 31st shloka itself, this subject Drishya Viveka is over. People can stop there. But we said we will do the additional shlokas also because they were there. Here the author summarizes his own teaching in these shlokas. He divides the ahankara into two from another angle also. The earlier identification of the ahankara is that it is a mixture of the two relative seer scenes, namely the sense organs and the mind. And in the later shlokas from 32 to 46, the ahankara description is what? It's different. The sense organs and the mind obtaining in dream, the dream ahankara is called the pratibhasika jiva. And the ahankara obtaining the waking state is called the waking ahankara, the mind and sense organs obtaining the waking state, that is called vyavaharika jiva. The sakshi obtaining in all the states is called paramarthika jiva. And the author says one should not identify with the pratibhasika jiva and vyavaharika jiva, which are both mithya and samsaris, but identify with the paramarthika jiva. Jnani claims the paramarthika jiva as oneself, himself or herself, when he or she says, I am Brahman. Pratibhasika jiva is compared to a bubble, and vyavaharika jiva is compared to a wave, and paramarthika jiva is compared to water. The bubble is unreal and dependent. The wave also is unreal and dependent. Both are dependent on water for their existence, and water alone is independently existing. The bubble is mithya, the wave is mithya, and water alone is satyam. So both the pratibhasika jiva and the vyavaharika jiva are mithya, and the paramarthika jiva alone is satyam. So if a person claims this paramarthika jiva as oneself, through the statement, I am Brahman, aham brahmasmi, he has successfully studied drig drishya viveka. Drishya means the pratibhasika and vyavaharika jivas. And the drig is the paramarthika jiva. This is what we should learn through Vedanta. And if it is learned and understood properly, then we can say we understood Vedanta well. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah shri krishna.